Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Avodah Zarah Samach Daled. We begin on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. It's seven lines off the bottom of the Amud. We begin with a story, Yosir Rav Nachman. So the following Amoraim were sitting together. It was Rav Nachman, Ve'ula, Ve'avimi Bar Papi. And who was sitting with them? V'yosef, Rabbi Chia Bar Ami, he was sitting Gabayu with them. Tosis remarks that the Gemara would present it this way due to a Gemara back in Ksubais, where in fact it was Rabbi Chia Bar Ami who sort of addressed them, called out to the rest of the group. That's why the Gemara separates him from the rest. So it's on account of that story in Ksubais. So although in this case, actually, it was Rav Nachman who turned to them and addressed them. But since it happened in the same sitting, the Gemara keeps to that same description of the names of the people involved. So in any case, it was Rav Papi, it was Rav Nachman, Ula Avimi Bar Papi, and Rav Chia Bar Ami having a discussion. The Yasfi, they were sitting with Kami Boilu, and they posed the following question. So we know that one may not accept wages for working with the Ayin Nesech. This is a knas, a penalty to keep people away, far away from anything related to Avodah Zarah. But what if he was hired by a guy to destroy the Ayin Nesech? The guy discovers that he has a problem with his wine, wants to get rid of it, he wants to appeal to Jewish customers. Okay, so the question is, Sechare Lishbar bi Ayin Nesech Ma? We hire the Jew to break his barrels, to destroy his Ayin Nesech. Can the Yid accept pay for that work? Mi'amrina, shall we say, given the rights of b'kiyumai, asr. So although he's not really benefiting directly from the wine, he's not drinking it, he's not selling it, but he's rights of b'kiyumai. He is pleased with the existence of that wine, at least until he breaks it. Otherwise, he's going to forfeit his salary, right? He wants the thing to be around as long as he is involved in breaking and destroying it. So that's called Reitze B'Kiyumai. That's perhaps considered a form of Hanoah. He's benefiting from the existence of the wine, albeit, temporary, transitory, but it's giving him Hanoah while it's around. Oidilma, or on the other hand, you can say, Kol Lemute Tifla. As long as he's involved, any situation which is involved which entails destroying the Avodah Zarah, Lemute Tifla, to reduce, to minimize forbidden material, Shapri Dami, is certainly, we're okay with that. So, which way? Is it considered like having a no? Do we treat it like a salary payment for work with the Ayin Nesach, which is Asur, or do we say, as long as he's destroying it, Gesundheit? So Rav Nachman, Amrlu Rav Nachman, he says, look, sure, Yishbar, let him go and break. V'tavel of Bracha, let him be blessed from Hashem, sure. There's no issue of Hanoah from Ayin Nesach. Leimam Seyele, perhaps we can bring a support to this concept from a halacha regarding a totally different topic, Kilayim. So one is not allowed to grow a mixture of species, whether it's different types of vegetables or vegetables with vines. So the halacha says that you can't even be involved in cultivating that type of growth. Ein oidrin im ha'ovid kechavim b'kilayim. The guy has a field of kilayim, of this mix, and you can't go ahead and even dig and help him cultivate his crop, because you can't lend a hand to growing kilayim. Aval oikrin imay, but suppose he's hired you to destroy his kilayim, to uproot the kilayim, or according to some rishonim, to it's getting too crowded, so pull out some of the overcrowded vegetables. So in a way, you're reducing the kilayim. You can do that. Aval oikrin imay, you can uproot with the guy, kidei lemu'utes ha'tifla, which will be mamait, which will be reducing the problematic material. No, there you go. So you see that although it's asur, but if you're reducing it, it's okay. Now, Savrua, the Bnei HaYeshiva, who brought a riot to Rav Nachman from this halacha, they figured that this really corresponds in a way to Yayin Nesach. which you cannot have anah from. Hamani Rabbi Akiva hi. Because we're going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has a unique shita when it comes to kalayim. The Amar, he says, not only is one forbidden from planting kalayim or cultivating kalayim, one cannot even maintain kalayim. He learns it from a pasuk. So in a way, this yid is helping him maintain the kalayim. Nevertheless, right, he's pleased with the existence of the kalayim. That's a form of mekayim, right? Nevertheless, he can be involved in that because he's uprooting it. So again, Rabbi Akiva holds the Amari Rabbi Akiva the Amar HaMakayim B'Kalayim, look, even being Makayim, Kalayim, generates Malkus and severe punishment. The Sani Rabbi Braisa, HaManakesh, HaMachape B'Kalayim, look. So this is the prevalent opinion, the Shita, the Tanakama, the Chachamim. If one weeds in a Kalayim, you know, plantation, or he's Machape, he runs some soil over the seeds. So yeah, that's called planting Kalayim, and he gets Malkus. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he adds, Af HaMekayim, even if one maintains, Rashi says, he, you know, fences it off, maintains it in any way, so he's going to get Malkus. My timer, the Rabbi Akiva, who is Rabbi Akiva's source, that Mekayim is also liable, Amakra, because the way the Torah situates its wording, it comes to teach us to cover even a Mekayim. Sod Cholos Damakra, Sod Cholos Yizr Kelayim. Don't plant kalayim in your field. Einel is a rare. Perhaps it only applies to a planter. Mekayim, what about a mekayim? Tamleim eloi kalayim. So Rashi explains, because the pasuk actually reads like this. Don't crossbreed animals. Behem tocha lo sarbiya, kalayim. And then it moves on to mixing plants in a field. Sotcho lo sizer kalayim. So the placement of the wording in the pasuk can be learned also. Kalayim sotcho loi. You should not even allow kalayim in that field. Even if you're not actually planting, you're just maintaining, that's also usher and gets malchus. So in a way, when this yid, this laborer, this worker, the guy, was hired to pull out kalayim, in a way he's right to be human. He wants it to exist until he gets to pull it out. So he's sort of contributing the maintenance, at least in his mind, of that kalayim. Nevertheless, it's okay in this context. There you go. Because he's minimal. He's reducing the problematic material. That sort of overrides the concern of Roitze Bekiyumai. Okay, so the same would be by Yai Nesach. It should be okay. That's a writer of Nachman who permitted it. No, says the Waloi. You're assuming that it's following Rabbi Akiva, who considers it a problem to be Makayim. So why is this Yid allowed to be involved? Because he's reducing, ultimately he's benefiting the situation. Lo yomani rabbanon. Perhaps this price is found in rabbanon. Rabbanon hold that mekayim is not an iser. So roitze b'kiyumai, which is a sort of an offshoot of mekayim, wouldn't be a problem either. Asks the Gemara, id rabbanon. Well, if this is the rabbanon speaking, that mekayim kelayim is not an iser. So the question is, my iria ikrin. Why did the price have to present this halacha in this manner? He can go ahead and uproot the kalayim, which sounds like, well, it's despite the fact that he's roitze b'kiyumai, that he's pleased with the existence, but because ultimately he's reducing the problematic material, and that overrides. So it sounds like kiyum is a problem, but it, you know. Afil kiyumi nami shapri dam, even an outright mekayim, even just maintaining it on its own would be okay. Quite a rabbana. So why did the Brice have to speak about uprooting? Answers the Gemara, Hacha b'mayaskinan. You know why? King David b'chinam was speaking that the Yid is not charging the guy for his work. He's doing it free of charge. And the point of the Brice is to allow it, even though Rabbi Yudhi, going like the opinion of Rabbi Yudhi, who says typically, you may not give a free gift to a guy or work on a volunteer basis for a guy. The Amar who says, Litain lahem matnas chinam aser. It's forbidden to give them a gift unless you're courting favor and getting something in return. And that's the point of the brisa. To tell you that although he shouldn't be doing free work, but in this case it's allowed because it's lemu'utei tifla, ultimately it's bringing about a reduction of this problematic material. Perhaps that's considered getting something in return. But in any case, that overrides the issue of gifting the guy. Okay, says the Gemara, still we can pursue our point. Nevertheless, because we can say, look, mid Rabbi Yehuda, nishmal Rabbi Akiva. Although you've suggested this price is not going like Rabbi Akiva, we're going like the Rabbanon. Mekayim is never an issue. The issue is otherwise. The issue is the fact that he's doing it for free. But nevertheless, it's allowed because of the fact that he's being mamayit the tifla. He's reducing the iser material. So the same or similar equation can be applied according to Rabbi Akiva as well. Meaning, love Amar Rabbi Yehuda, asr litein lehem mat naschirim. Despite Rabbi Yehuda disallowing free gifting to a guy, aval muti tiflo shaper dami. But if it's to achieve this ultimate goal of being mamayit tiflo, we do away with the problem of mat naschirim and we allow the yid to be involved. Likewise, Rabbi Akiva nami, according to Rabbi Akiva as well, afagav dami Rabbi Akiva. All the Rabbi Akiva holds hamakayim bekalayim loike. Simply maintaining kilayim generates malchus and is very forbidden, but in a case where the ultimate objective is limute tifla, to reduce the isur shaper dami, it would be okay. That's not really called, you know, maintaining or having anna. He's engaged in reducing and destroying. Likewise, says the Gemara, it would be allowed in as part of a yayin nezach destruction process. In accordance with Rav Nachman's halacha b'sula midi, there's nothing more to ask on this. It's a pretty solid raya to Rav Nachman that a Jew may go ahead and destroy barrels of Yayin Nesech for a goy and get paid for his troubles. Okay, here comes the second question that was posed by that group. Hadur Yasvim coming by, they were sitting and asking further. So we all know that if a Yid took an idol and exchanged it for money, that money becomes Asr. We discussed this the other day, right? It's Tefes Damav. The Isr spreads, so to speak, to it. You know, the money, the exchange. What if a guy did that exchange? Does he have to abide by the same? Does the money that he got as payment for his idol get affected or not? Dmei avodat kochavim. Money received in exchange of for an idol. B'yad avodat kochavim in the hands of a guy. Mal, what is the status of that money? Shall we say, mi tefes es domeh? B'yad avodat kochavim eloi? Does the idol affect the money as well? In the hands of a guy or not? Amul Rav Nachman. So once again, Rav Nachman responds, Mistavra, it seems to me that it's okay. Dmei avoides kecham. Payment received in exchange for an idol. If it's in the hands of a guy, if it was exchanged by a guy, biad oved kecham, mutaran, it's okay. How do I know? From a story. Medahanu da asul kamei da rabba barabo. There were these goyim who were in the process of converting to Yiddishkeit. Came to Rabba Barabo. And he gave him some sage advice. He says, before you convert, make sure you sell off all your problematic assets, including Avodah Zarah and Yayin Nesach, right? Which will not do you any good once you convert. So quickly sell it off. And at least you'll have the money. Amar Luhi tells them, Zilu Zavinu, Kol Ma De'islechu. Go sell all your problematic materials. And then... And then come back, Visui Gaira, and then you'll convert. My time. Huh? Why did he tell him to do this? Mishum to Kasaro, because he holds Dmei Avodas Kochavim, Biyad Avodas Kochavim, Mutar, the money received in exchange for idols. While still in the hands of a guy, is okay. So that's the answer to our question. Asks the Gemara, hold it. Maybe, maybe not. Vidilma Shani Hasan, perhaps it's different in that case, because the Kivan the Dai Talig Yurei, since the guy intends on converting, Vatai Batla, certainly. He nullified that idol. He negated it. He deactivated it. He no longer has any use for it. He's no longer deems it his deity. So perhaps that's why it's okay to go and sell that item and keep the money, because it's no longer Avodah Zarah. But we're asking if in fact it's still an active idol that was sold by a guy. What happens there? We have no raya from this story, right? El mihacha. Let me bring you a raya from another. Brisa, Yisroel, Shayinoshe, Vet Gechav, Mana. So Yid was owed a mana, right? $100 by the guy. And the guy, instead of bringing him just straight out cash, the guy sold his Yayin Nesach, or sold his idol, to produce cash to pay the Yisroel. Umachar, Avedis Gechav, Veviloi. The guy sold his Avedis Zorah and brought him the money as payment for the loan. Or he sold the Yayin Nesach, Veviloi. Mutar, you can take that money. It's not my business how he got his money, right? But if the guy put the Yisrael on notice, look, give me a couple of days, I got to sell my idol first, I got to sell my Yayin Nesach, I'll bring you the money. Hamtinli, do me a favor, wait a little bit. Until I go ahead, until I can sell off my idols. Vavilach, no, I'll give you the money. Or until I sell my Yayin Nesach, I'll pay you. In this case, it's Asr. Now, before we get to analyze the difference between both stories, both parts of the Braisa, we have a clear answer to our question. We see clearly that if the guy sells off these problematic materials, the Jew can benefit from this money. Why? Apparently, it's not a problem for a guy to exchange Avodah Zarah, the money doesn't get affected. Okay, in any case, back to the question. Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa? We had two variations, right? In the first case, it's okay to accept the money that the guy received in exchange for his Avodah Zarah or his Yayin Nesach. In the second case, since he sort of put him on notice, give me a day or two to sell it, and then he came back with the money, that's a problem. What's the difference? Either way, it's the same money received in exchange for the same material. What's the difference if you put him on notice and made him wait? Maishna Reishna, Maishna Seifa. Amrav Sheisha, Seifa, the reason why in the second case it's a problem is from the Havalei Ki Reitze B'Kiyumai, because since it wasn't yet sold, when he was speaking to the Yid, he actually delayed his repayment. He says, wait it out, I got a couple of days, I got to sell my thing. So at this point, the Yid is Reitze B'Kiyumai. He wants the problematic and forbidden material to exist long enough until it's sold so that he can get his payment. And that's why it's Asr. It's like a form of having Hanoah from the Avodah Zarah. Asks the Gemara, V'chi Reitze B'Kiyumai Ki Gavan Mi Asr? This type of Reitze B'Kiyumai, where he's not really actively doing anything, he's just waiting, right, to get the money that will be produced by exchanging the item. The guy is doing the work, he's just waiting. That's a problem. We have a Mishnah where it seems to be okay, but no, we have a Mishnah. So a guy converted, and he has a brother who's a guy. Now their father passed away, left behind a full estate with some Avodah Zarah, some Yayin Nesach, and other things, right? So we have a Ger Oiv Kichavim, a Yid and a Goy, Sheyarshu Avin Oiv Kichavim, who inherited their father, who's a Goy. Now, the Ger does not want to take possession of the forbidden materials. Could he turn to his sort of brother? Do me a favor, you take all the Yayin Nesach, take the Avodah Zarah, I'll take the rest. We'll split it 50-50, but we'll divide it this way. Is that okay? Yeah. Ger could turn to the guy, Yechalei Marlo, he could tell him, you take the idols, I'll take the money. You take the forbidden wine, I'll take the wheat. Because it wasn't yet obtained by the Yid. Right? It was not yet divided, not yet, allocated. So it's a fair deal. But, im mishabol rishusa ger asbar, let's say divided everything right down the middle. The ger took part of the wine. He took part of the wine. At that point, it's too late because now he's going to be giving away that wine that belongs to him and exchanging it for something else. You can't have enough from Yayin Nesach. But in the first scenario, it's okay, despite the fact that the Yid, in a way, wants the Yayin Nesach to survive until they make that division so that he can take something instead of that Yayin Nesach. That's very similar to the previous case, where the guy promised to pay him back his loan, right? Exchange for the Yayin Nesach, which is going to sell. And we say it's a problem because the Yid is Reitze B'Kiyumai. He wants the stuff to be around. So why is it mutter in this case of the gear? He wants the Avodah Zarah to be around long enough. So he's benefiting from the existence until they divide things. Amarab Bar Ula? No. In this case, Masnissen, the case of the Mishnah speaking, he doesn't really care for the idol to stay complete. We're talking about an expensive idol made of expensive metal, gold idol. Even if it shatters, it still has value. Ba'avodas Kichavim Mischalekes Lefi Shvareha. Right? It's an idol that's going to be split up in parts and pieces. So basically, nobody cares if it breaks apart. So there's no Reitze B'Kiyumai. He has no interest in having the idol stay in its current form and its current shape. So it's not an issue of Reitze B'Kiyumai. Okay, that explains an idol. But Yayin Nesach, Michael Lemmer, you can apply that formula to Yain Nesach in the barrel. It's got to stay in the barrel, otherwise you have no wine. Yeah, you can have Yain Nesach that could come apart as well. Becheres Hadrayoni. Remember that discussion of Hadrayonis Kesar, this general who would carry along the shards of pottery saturated with wine along with him to battle. So you can have Yain Nesach contained in those just pieces. So again, he doesn't really care whether they stay whole or they break. They're still the same, have the same value. So there's no issue of Reitzah B'Kiyumah. Okay, but he wants it at least to stay safe. He doesn't want it to get stolen or lost. So he's Reitzah B'Kiyumah. He wants it to be here, to exist, until they make this division, right? Between himself and his brother. V'alei Reitzah B'Kiyumah, he wants it to stick around. Shlo Yignoivu, Shlo Yoivdu, they shouldn't get stolen or lost. How do we get around that? Elam Rapapa says, Rapapa, you know what? You have a point. In a way, it is Reitzah B'Kiyumah. But it's not going to be a problem in this case. We're going to suspend that issue by a Yerusha of a Ger. We have to be very careful with him, lest he be discouraged and perhaps be tempted to go back to his old ways. So we can't come down too hard on him. We have to give him his fair share of his father's inheritance. Yerusha Sager Ka'amrus, you're citing a case of Yerusha of a Ger. Oh, it's different. Shan Yerusha Sager. Da kilu rabban rabban were lenient when it comes to the inheritance coming to a ger by way of his father, the goy's estate. Why it's exerted? There's a concern. Shem yachsel kakuli. Perhaps he'll turn back to his errant ways if we give him a hard time inheriting his father's estate. Tanam yichol. We find the same in a brisa. That in fact, this leniency is applied because of his situation. Bameh devar mamurim. When do we allow this type of arrangement to take place? Meaning, when could the ger turn to his, goy brother and make this arrangement? You take that with the zara, I get the money. That's only shiyarshu if they're dividing within an inheritance type of setting, as we explained. Aval nishtatvu also, but let's say they're just plain partners, unrelated to inheritance and yerusha. So they can't do this. They can't do this because we don't apply this leniency when it comes to ordinary partnerships. It's a specific leniency when it comes to yerusha, so as not to, hurt the ger and discourage him. Okay, so what happened? We had a shayla. If a guy sells his avodah zarah or his yayin nesach, is that money asur or not? And we concluded that it's okay. And regarding your reitzah b'kiyumah, so in terms of the earlier case when the Israel was involved in destroying, that's okay, but in this case, where he's just benefiting from the Yayin Nesach, it's hanging around long enough to be sold, its money being used for slated for repayment of a loan, that's a problem. But by a ger, in terms of a Yerusha circumstance, we sort of look away from that factor. Hodor Yasvi Vikami Bailu, again the same Chacham sitting around asking another question. So we know that a guy can be Mavatel and of a Dezara. His own, his friend, the goy's avodah zarah. What about a ger toshav? A ger toshav, as we're going to see later, is sort of a partial convert. He's still a goy, but he keeps the sheva mitzvahs, bnei noyach. He doesn't worship idols, etc. So he's allowed to live amongst us, and actually, we're meant to support him. Give him tzedakah, right? Torah says, b'chai imach, right? So this ger toshav, who's adhering to certain, fundamentals, right, believing in Hashem, etc., but he's still technically a guy. He belongs to that class of people. Does he still have the ability to be mevatel an idol? Interesting question. Can he go be mevatel an idol belonging to a guy? Shall we say he can't? Why? The palach, only a fellow who's actually a worshipper, mevatel, he can be mevatel. The loy palach, but a non-worshipper, such as this fellow, loy mevatel, perhaps doesn't have the ability to mevatel. If you're in it, you can destroy it. If you're not in it, you can say, he's still a guy. Called devar mine. Anyone of that type, of that class, meaning any guy mevatel can be mevatel. Vaibar mine, when he's still part of the tribe, part of the guyish class of people. Amul Rav Nachum. Once again, Rav Nachum responds. It seems to be that he can't. Mistavra de palach mevatel, de le palach mevatel. One who worships can be mevatel, otherwise not. Meisvei v'vakasha. Vei braisa, tesei sefta, describing a Yisrael, shemotza, Avodas Kachav Bishuk, Yisrael is walking down the street, he finds an idol. Ah, Shalai Basal Yod, before he picks it up and acquires it, so still, it's not yet Avid Zorav Yid, it allows for a bittel. Omer, like Kachav Mabatle, can turn to the guy there and says, do me a favor, give me a battle. Then it works. Shabbat Basal Yod, once he picks it up and it's his, Eino Omer, Loivet Kachav Mabatle, can no longer ask a guy to be Mabatle. Why? Because Avid Zorav belongs to a Yid, doesn't allow for a bittel. Because the following was stated as a halacha, a guy oivet kechav mevatel, he could be mevatel, his own idol, his neighbor's idol, avoydas kechav mishaloi, right? Veshachaverim. Next, he can be mevatel bein oida, whether he's worshipping the idol, ubein shein oida, whether he's not worshipping. Now, doesn't this seem to be a repetition? First, we say here's his friends, which is, seems to be exactly like the next part of the phrase, whether he's oivda or ain oivda, whether he's worshipping it or not. Now, what does that mean? My oivda, u my shein oivda. What's the second part of this statement? He worships it, he doesn't worship it. Elam, shall we explain? Worshipping, not worshipping, they're both plain goyim. Worshipping means it's his own personal idol. Not worshipping means it's his friend. Well, that's exactly what you just said a minute before. Hainu, this is merely a duplication of the first part of the statement. Shaloi his own, v'shachaveru his friends. So why repeat yourself? Ella, it must be the second part of the statement is covering a guy who worships. A worshipper means a real guy who's still engaged in a way desire. Eino if it means a fellow who's no longer worshipping, i.e. a gerut ha'ishav, the topic of our discussion. Ella, so it must be, oivda means Oved Gecham, a real guy. Umay Shein Oivda, what does Shein Oivda mean? Gerut Toshav. Ushma, we know, we can learn from here that a Gerut Toshav, Nami, he as well can nullify Mevatel. Loi, no, no, no. Loilam, we can certainly learn differently. Emelech, I'll tell you how to learn the Brisa differently. Idevi, Idevi, Gecham. The second part of the Brisa, the words Oivda, Shein Oivda, are both describing a real guy who's still worshipping idols. Look, Amr's asked you a question. Isn't this just a repetition? Hainu, isn't it the same exact as the first part of the statement? Shaloi, his own, v'shachaveru, his friends. No, 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 big difference. Reisha, the first part, meaning Shaloi v'shachaveru, is as follows. Ze v'ze l'po'er, v'ze l'markulis. This guy worships po'er, a certain type of idol, and so does his friend. So he can go ahead and nullify his own power, or shall have his friend's power. Vizel Markulis, or alternatively, if they're both worshipping a different type of idol, Markulis, which the one that you stone, right? So he can be mevatel his own Markulis, or his friend's Markulis, because they're pretty much on the same page, right? They're both adhering to the same type of system. That's the first part of the Brice. Okay, so again, we're speaking that he's a full idol worshipper. He can mevatel shaloi, his own Markulis, or his friend's Markulis. Seifa, part B, is where these two goyim worship different idols. Zela Por, he worships Por, Vizela Markulis, and his friend's idol, who he's trying to now be mevatel, is a different type of idol. And the point of the Brice is that you can still nullify it, even though he's not really in on that type of idol, but since he's in the, you know, in the world of idol worship, he can mevatel somebody else's idol, despite it being a different type of idol. However, a gerut toshav, who's actually no longer involved in worshipping idols, perhaps he cannot be mevatel an avodah zarah. Meisvei. So here comes another kasha on Rav Nachman, who says that he could. So the Braisa says, Eizo gerut toshav. How do we define a gerut toshav? What exactly is he? How do you become a gerut toshav? He started as a guy, right? What happened? Kol shekibul olav b'fnei gimel chaverim. So delete the word chaverim. So in any case, he accepted, he committed in front of three talmid chachamim to shloi lavid, avoid es kechav. I'm no longer worshiping idols. Okay, so he made a true commitment in front of three. But pretty much that's the only thing that he's keeping. That's considered a Ger Toshav, who he must now support financially if need be. Divrei Rameir, that's Rameir's opinion. Chacham Oimrim, that's not enough. Just abstaining from Avodah Zarah? No, he has to keep all these seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. V'chacham Oimrim kol shekibel olav sheva mitzvahs shekibel olim Bnei Noach. All seven mitzvahs. Avodah Zarah, proper court system, all that. Acherim Oimrim, the sheet of Acherim is totally different. Eilu loybo l'chlal ger toshev. All these individuals have not yet attained the status of a ger toshev. Rather, Ela ezo ger toshev. Who's considered a ger toshev? Ze ger, he's a true ger. Oichal nevelos, but he can't resist eating non-kosher food. But everything else he keeps. Shekibul of l'kaim kol mitzvah samuz v'tor. He keeps all the other mitzvahs. He's committed to everything. Chutz mi'isur nevela, except for nevela. So he's not fully committed. He's not a full ger. But he's much further than the other two descriptions. In any case, what's the status of this ger toshev? So in terms of wine, right? A true goy, he touches wine. It's aser to drink, aser to have hana'a, right? But here it's different. On the one hand, you can trust him somewhat. Miyachten es lo yayin, a yid could trust him with could leave some wine by him, and leave, you know, for a short time. Rashi says, right, and come back and check on him, right? Something which you couldn't do by a goy. Right? So you can leave it by him, go out for a walk, come back. Because since he's not an active idol worshiper, he's not going to do nisuch. And likewise, he's going to protect your wine from any guy that might come by. He's not going to switch your wine. It's a short time that you're leaving it by him. But v'eim afkinei slayan, you can't leave your wine by him for long term. Right? Because something might happen. In the meantime, you might decide to switch it with his own wine, which is forbidden, as we're going to see in a minute. So you can trust him more than a guy, but in a limited form. Even you can't even, you know, leave this wine by him long term, even if it's in a place that's a place where it's mostly yidden. Right, but still, we're afraid that if we leave it too long, we're afraid that the guy, that the ger toshev, may be tempted to switch it with his own wine. So even though it's mostly yidden, we're not really concerned that a guy would walk in and, you know, tamper with the wine. But nevertheless, you got to be careful. Aval miyachne etz l'yayin, so you can't be mafkid. Even if it's a place which is mostly yidden, but in terms of the first halacha that you can actually trust him for a short time period with your wine, that's allowed even if it's a place full of goyim. Even if it's a city inhabited mostly by goyim, because you can somewhat trust him that he's going to protect your wine. What's the status of his oil? Right, he gives you his oil. Kiyenai is treated like his wine. Says the Gemara, Shamnu Kiyenis HaKadaitach. Why are you treating his oil like his wine? Why would oil be Asr, you know, Bahano, like wine is Asr Bahano? Oh, just the opposite. Ella, rather, Yenai Kishamnu, just the opposite. Just like his oil is Mutter, you can have Hano from his oil. Likewise, his wine is mutar b'hano as well. And, you know, there's a discussion back in, yeah, this a couple of weeks ago, there was a mission that oil of a goy is usher to drink. Actually, later in the Gemara, right, they will matter the oil. So the Brisa here is referring to the time period where the goyish oil from a goy is usher to drink. You can have hano from it. It's not like, you know, of a dessert-related material, you can't have enough from it. You can't drink it. We don't want interaction with the guy. So at that point in history, it was Asr. So the price is equating, just like the oil of a guy is limited to iser of shti, of drinking, of eating it, but you can have anah from it. Same status applies to the wine of this Geret Toshav. On the one hand, you shouldn't be drinking it, because maybe maybe a guy, you know, touched it, so we want to keep away from this wine, but you can have an offer from it. We don't treat it like real stam yenam. Certainly we don't treat it like yayin nesach, which is asur bahano. Okay, that's with respect to trusting him, oil, wine. Lushar kodav, regarding other matters, harayhu ko'eved kechavim, Eger Toshev has the same status as a real guy. Rashi says, you know why? Given the leimal, choshedu chalatera, since he didn't undergo a bris milah, he's not a proper yid, so he's treated like a guy. And we'll see in a minute exactly what application this has. Now, Lushar kodav, Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, "Yeah, you know, yain nesach. You can't trust this Geret Toshev at all. Any wine in his possession is totally yain nesach. So, although perhaps you can trust him, you know, with your wine for a short period, but his own wine, right? He gives you his own wine. It's yain nesach. It's also even bahano, because the Geret Toshev is not very careful from allowing a guy to tamper with it. We have to treat it like real yayin nesach, it's asr bahano. V'amrila, and others disagree. To the other extent, buta b'shtia, they allow you even to drink a wine given to you by Geret Toshev. So we have a gamut of opinions regarding the wine of Geret Toshev. You can drink it, you can't even have anah, or something in between. It's asr b'shtia, mutar bahano. Okay, but in any case, back to that one line, ketonimia. Let's go back to that part of the Braisa where it says, Ulashar called the Varav Harihu Kavkicham. Regarding other matters, the Geret Toshev is treated like a goy. Pertaining to what? Shall we not assume it pertains to our discussion, our matter at hand? Whether he can do betul. Lav mevatel avedis kichavim. To give him the power to nullify an idol. Just like a regular goy, Kavkicham. Which is consistent with Rav Nachman, who likewise allowed a Geret Toshev to do that. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, lie. Who says we're speaking about this type of thing? Rice is referring to halachos of Shabbos, of actually Erevin. Litein Rishus, Ulevatel Rishus. So we all know that when there are Yidden living in the same chatzar, the same sort of courtyard, so each one has his own private house, but they all have this joint area, joint use area, this chatzer. Can you carry from your house to the joint area? No, you can't, unless you make an Erev Chatzeris. They all contribute to this Erev, they collect some bread and put it into one house, and now you're sort of joining and merging all the residents of this little neighborhood, turning them to sort of one residence, and now it's all one big happy family. It's not considered like I'm carrying from my house to your property and your property to my property, which would be a problem because it's reminiscent of carrying from one domain to the other, one rishos to the other, which is asur on Shabbos, right? So it's a din d'rabbanan in order to avoid confusion, to prevent chilul Shabbos. You want to preempt any appearance of as though people are carrying from one type of domain to the other. So we have to sort of join together into one big happy family, merge it into one domain, into one residence. Now suppose a fellow forgot to contribute to the Erev. Just forgot. So everybody except for him has contributed. What happens now? It's on Shabbos. It's too late. You can't. This has to be done before Shabbos. So, and on the onset of Shabbos, it's a merged entity. Shabbos, it's too late. You can still be mevato. He says, look, I'm giving away, I'm relinquishing my sort of slice of this yard. It's yours. So now his element of ownership, his portion of the property gets sort of enveloped, absorbed into the general merged property, and it's okay. He no longer interferes. He's not a separate entity. He's part and parcel of the merged entity. But only a Yid can do that. So only a real Yisrael can participate in the Erev, can do Bittul, but a guy, he's not enabled. He's not Erev enabled. So he can't do Erev, he can't do Bittul, because Bittul is really just a flip side of Erev. It's option two of Erev. A guy can't do Erev. So the most he can do is actually Soicher. They have to rent his property. Okay, so they have to rent his property. And this way they're sort of acquiring his usage rights in that property. They're sort of taking that away from him. And then it doesn't interfere with their arrangement. And likewise, a Ger Toshav, since he's technically still a guy, he can't participate in Erev, nor in Bittul. At most, he can do Schirus. He can rent it out to the rest of his neighbors, and this way it solves their issue. That's the point of the Brice. A Ger Toshav is regarded like a guy in this regard. Okay, the Sanhedrin we have in the Brice, Yisrael Mumer. So a regular Yisrael, upstanding, righteous Yid, can do Erev, can do Bittul. What if it's Yisrael Mumer, a renegade, who's not really a Shemir Shabbos, but if he's Meshamer Shabbat Bishuk, he's a Shemir Shabbos in public, out in the street, meaning he's not Mechal Shabbos in public, he's considered somewhat of a Shabbos keeper, and therefore he can still do Bittul, Mevatel Rishus, he can nullify his Rishus, and relinquish it to the rest of the crowd. She'ein Meshamer Shabbat Bishuk, but if he doesn't keep Shabbos even in public, he outright desecrates the Shabbos, he loses that privilege, ein Mevatel Rishus, he can't do Bittul Rishus, because the following was said. Yisrael, if he's a Yisrael, as long as he's Shemir Shabbos in public, Noisen Rishos, Mevatel Rishos, he can give it away, he can Mevatel to the rest. But if he's a guy, or likewise, one is Mechal Shabbos in public, is treated like a guy in this regard, Ash Yiskor, it only works if he's actually going to rent it out to them. So they have to rent it from him. And that's the only way, right? Yisrael is Yisker from the guy. That's the only way it's going to work. Ketzad. How does a Bittul work? Oymer loy. So the forgetful Yid tells his neighbors, Rishusi knui lecha, Rishusi mibatals lecha, it's yours, I'm bimavatla to you, kana, that worked, that's enough. Ein tzarech liskeis, the fellow on the receiving end doesn't have to actually make a true masa, kinyan. As long as there's a sort of relinquishment of Rishus, that's enough to affect that transfer, and now he sort of joins the party and he can carry with them as though they're all one big happy family. Okay, but in any case, regarding a guy or a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya or even a Ger Toshav, the only system that would work for them is Schiras. Okay, so we started with a discussion taking place between the Amiraim. We had some questions. Firstly, one may not have enough from Yayin Nesach. What about if he was hired to destroy Yayin Nesach? Can he keep that that pay? So Rav Nachman says, yeah, because Lemutei Tifla, the ultimate goal is to destroy it, and therefore it's okay, even though technically he's pleased with the existence of the item until, you know, Reitzah B'Kiyumi is Mutter in this case. Next question that they asked, payment received by a guy for his idol, while still a guy, is that okay? And he said, yeah. We discussed a leniency applied to a ger with his brother regarding dividing his father's assets. And next question they asked was, what about a ger toshav? Could he be mevatel avodah zarah? To which Rav Nachman says, he doesn't think it works. We had a kasha on that, which we answered. We got another kasher, which we answered as well. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.